Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Monday, March 19th, and I hope you're having a great day. It's a beautiful day. What is it? May. Yeah, I said March. Thank you for correcting me, Devin. Yeah, I'm. This isn't an old program. this is live. So it's May 19th. We had a great Sunday yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana. We baptized five people, and we saw a number of people trust Christ at the end of the service and give their hearts and lives to Jesus. And I wanted to talk today about my message yesterday. We're in a series on the second coming. And my message yesterday was titled, If You Miss the Rapture. What do you do if you miss the rapture of the church? I believe that is the next great event on God's prophetic calendar. Some people are all hung up on the Antichrist and who's the Antichrist and is this person the Antichrist? Is that person the Antichrist? Well, we don't need to be thinking and looking for the Antichrist. You're not going to know who the Antichrist is. If you do, as my friend Ed Heinzen used to say, hey, if you can figure out who the Antichrist is, guess what? You missed the rapture, because the Antichrist will not be revealed until after the Lord raptures his church from this world and takes us to the Father's house. This is what the Bible says about the rapture. And we've talked about the rapture before with Jeff Kinley and Ed Heinzen and others. This is the classic rapture passage. If you want to know rapture passages, you have John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is Jesus? He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's going to take us to the Father's house. When does that happen? Well, that happens at the rapture. So John 14, Jesus speaks about taking us to the Father's house. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the classic rapture passage. And then also 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery, Paul says. It's something that had never been revealed before. It's not revealed in the Old Testament. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive will be changed. And they're going to, when we meet the Lord in the air, what happens? We take this perishable body that we have, and we put on the imperishable. We are glorified. Our mortal puts on immortality. And then it says, and then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But here is the classic rapture passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do believe that, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. What does that mean? That means when you die, your body goes into the ground, but your soul and spirit go to be with the Lord. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We believe that Jesus will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, most of the time when I do a funeral and I do the graveside, you know, you have the funeral at the church or in the chapel at the funeral home, and then you go out to the graveside, I'll typically read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, because they are words of comfort. If this loved one died in the Lord, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. If they died in the Lord, we know that we grieve for sure, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because we know that they're with the Lord, and we know that one day they're coming back with the Lord, and they're going to be given a glorified body. They rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them, meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And he changes us. Philippians chapter 3 says that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of this humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. What happens at the return, at the rapture? Well, we're caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, just bam, that fast, we're gone. And we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we are on the way up. We're given a glorified body, and our perishable puts on the imperishable, and our mortal puts on immortality, and we'll mock the grave because we'd never had to go through death. And those who died, they'll mock the grave because they say, grave, you couldn't hold me. Oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? And the Lord gives us the victory. And so we are looking forward to the rapture of the church. That's the next great event on God's prophetic calendar. So here's the question. You know, Ed Heinzen used to say this. If you're a Bible believer, you can't deny the rapture. You can't, because it's written in there. When does that happen? That's the question. Not does that happen, but when does that happen? When is there a rapture of the church? When does the Lord come back and he calls us up in the clouds? Well, I believe it happens before the seven-year tribulation period. We call that being a pre-tribulation rapturist, before the 7 years of tribulation that Daniel talks about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, before the revealing of the Antichrist, before the seven-year treaty that the Antichrist enters into with Israel, before the rebuilding of the temple and the sacrifices that will take place during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, some people say, well, I believe in the rapture, but the rapture happens in the middle of the tribulation. It happens at that midpoint, which Jesus said was the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist sets up his idol there in the temple, his image in the temple, and requires everybody to worship him. He'll say, I am God. He sets himself up in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Everybody has to worship him. And he says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, well, then you need to flee. You need to get out of Jerusalem ASAP, because then there's coming such a great tribulation. That's the last half. It's called the Great Tribulation. And Jesus said, run, because the Antichrist is coming after you. So some people say, well, that's when the rapture happens, at the midpoint. And then there are others that say, well, it's not at the beginning. It's not pre-tribulation, it's not mid-tribulation, it's post-tribulation. Jesus just comes back once, and when he comes back, we're caught up to meet him in the clouds, and then we come down, we accompany him as he comes and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives and does battle with his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon. And so they say, we believe in a post-tribulation rapture. When Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation, that's when we are raptured. And so what does that mean? That means that the church goes through the tribulation period, which doesn't seem to fit at all. And Ed Heinzen brings this out. I've never forgotten it. He said, the church is the bride of Christ. And the tribulation period is God pouring out his wrath on the those who dwell on the earth who rejected his son, on a Christ-rejecting, disobedient world. And he said, why would the Lord pour out his wrath on the church? Doesn't make sense. On his bride, it doesn't make sense. You don't beat up your bride before the wedding. And you have to have some time to go to the Father's house. You have to have some time for the bride to make herself ready, which is the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be evaluated by fire, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And so for all those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, there's coming a day when we are going to be evaluated by the Lord based on what we did in the as Christians, what we did with our Christian life. It's kind of like the parable of the talents. So he gave one guy five talents, one guy two talents, one guy one talent. And then he says, implied, it's actually stated in a similar parable in Luke chapter 19, but do business with this until I come. Or as the King James says, occupy until I come. And so the guy with five talents made five more. The guy with two talents made two more. They traded with them. They put those to use. The guy that one talent didn't do anything with it. And so you're going to be evaluated by the Lord. And the evaluation is fire. He tests the quality of your work, my work, and he tests it by fire. Now, anything that you do, I do, in the power of the Holy Spirit is likened to gold, silver, precious stone. And those things stand the test of fire. But if you live your Christian life in the power of the flesh, well, those things are likened to wood, hay, and straw. Well, they don't stand the test of the fire. And so, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. You don't lose your salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ is a judgment of reward. But now if everything that you did in the Christian life was in the power of the flesh and you have nothing to show for it, well, then you're going to suffer loss of reward. You don't suffer the loss of heaven, but you suffer the loss of reward. How sad for those who have been Christians for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever it is, and they have nothing to show for their Christian life. They have nothing to, no crown to throw at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, you're worthy of it all. It's going to be a time of tears for those. He wipes away every tear from our eyes, but I think it's a time of tears before the Lord saying, Lord, I wasted my life. But here's the thing. He burns out all the wood, hay, and stubble, and all that's left is what we did for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And the bride makes herself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. All this happens while the tribulation period is taking place on the earth. We're enjoying the wonders and glories of heaven and the glorious marriage supper of the Lamb. There has to be time for that to take place. When does that take place? If it's post-tribulation, you have no time for that to take place. If it's mid-tribulation, well, we're then going to experience 3.5 years of the wrath of God, seal judgments, and probably trumpet judgments and bowl judgments. Revelation chapter 6 through 19, they come, I would think, those last two come at the great tribulation, at the 3.5 year mark. But hey, good news. We're going to miss it all because God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and having trouble with the month. It's not March, it is May, May 19th, and we'll be right back after the break. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, Preborn is putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue all of them. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all those precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire preborn week for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. So please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and it is Monday, May 19th. Hope you're having a great day. We're talking about the rapture. What do you do if you miss the rapture? As I said in the first segment, I believe the rapture is the next great event on God's prophetic calendar, and the rapture will set the stage for the revealing of the Antichrist, the treaty that he signs with Israel, the rebuilding of the temple. The big question is, how does that take place? Because you have the Dome of the Rock, one of the Muslims' most holy places there. Something's got to happen to that. It's got to be taken out somehow, some way, whether God sends a meteor to destroy it. Some people say, well, you have the Battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39 that take place either right after the rapture, or something that would change the landscape of the world as far as Islam goes. But anyway, the Bible does indicate that the temple is going to be rebuilt. There is going to be this seven-year period. At the middle of that seven-year treaty, that Antichrist breaks the covenant and sets himself up in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. And if you don't worship and you don't get the mark of the beast, 666 on your right hand or on your forehead, you cannot do business. No seal, no sale. You can't buy or trade or sell without that mark. And Christians will be, the tribulation saints, they're going to be hunted like dogs. And it's going to be very, very difficult. So, here's the thing. For so many people in church, they know the right things about Jesus, about the cross, about the resurrection. They know and they believe in their minds that all that's true, but they've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets," he said, "who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." John says, "Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus goes on to say, "You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. What is the fruit of a false teacher, a false prophet? They are consumed with the love of money, and they're all the time trying to get you to give them money, and they are typically sexually perverted. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude, the book of Jude, very, very similar in what they discuss. But those two things, they're prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, prophets for profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. So it's going to be the love of money and then sexual immorality that is going to dictate their lives. That's how you know, you'll know them by their fruits. And so Jesus said, hey, that's how you can tell a false teacher, and then check out their teaching with the Word of God. You always want to do that. Anybody on radio, anybody on television, anybody you hear in your church, your own pastor, check him out by the Word of God. That's what they did in Berea, the Berean Christians, Acts 17:11. They were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word coming from the Apostle Paul with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Oh, Paul, this is great teaching, but we're going to check you out, buddy. And they did. That's a good thing to do. But then Jesus goes on to say this, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, what day? Judgment day. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow, such a sobering passage, such an ominous passage. He's talking there about that day. That day is discussed in detail in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, where every unbeliever has to stand trial before the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the Father judges no man, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father, John chapter 5. And they're going to give an account of their lives. The Creator is going to bring you before Him, and you can have your day in court, so to speak. And there are going to be many who are going to say to Him, wait a minute, Lord, Lord, I believed in you. I preached in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I performed miracles in your name. Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, Matthew 7:22, these are not Sunday morning bench warmers. These are people that did things in the name of Jesus. Judas did all these things. He preached in the name of Jesus. He cast out demons in the name of Jesus. He performed miracles in the name of Jesus. But he didn't know Jesus. Did I not choose you, the 12? Jesus said, and yet one of you is a devil. And by that, he meant Judas Iscariot. So we had a situation yesterday that just blessed my heart. A person that has been in our church for 50 years, he got baptized yesterday. My friend Randy. Randy is in his upper 70s. Randy is bad knees and moves slowly now in today's situation. You know, his body's starting to break down. He's a big guy, and he got baptized. It's a big deal to walk down those steps into the baptistry when your knees are bad, but he did. And he gave this testimony that although he had been in the church for all these years, he didn't know the Lord. And his wife, sweet, wonderful lady, had been praying and praying and praying for him. And she told him just recently, you know, Randy, I'm just convinced, concerned that you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus. You know about him, but you don't know him. And Randy had to come to the realization that he did know about him, but he didn't really know him. And just a few months ago, he really opened up his heart to Jesus, and he was saved. And his wife told me, she said, I knew the very next day that he had gotten saved, that his life was changed. I could just tell as soon as I walked into his presence. And I see Randy often. He comes to our Thursday Man Up that we have, and there's just a sweetness about him. He used to be kind of a loner and walled off, and there's a sweetness about him now that wasn't there before. And to follow that up with baptism for a man who it doesn't move around great anymore because of physical limitations, for him to get baptized, that's a huge, huge deal. That is evidence that Jesus has done a work in my heart. You know, there are a lot of Randys in the world, a lot of people in church that don't know the Lord. They know about him, but they don't know him. And here's the thing. The Bible says this about the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. There are so many people in church, as Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, that are the elder brother. They think they're right with God because they've never gone out drinking, carousing, chasing women, wine, women, and song, as the prodigal did, wasted. He said, when this son of yours comes home and he's wasted your wealth with harlots, you receive him. They think they're good enough. They don't need salvation, because salvation is for the bad people, but they're the good people, and they think they're good enough. As my aunt said about my uncle, who was really, from a human perspective, a great, generous, wonderful man, but he didn't believe in Jesus. She said, I just think heaven is a place for all good people. Well, that's the problem. You think wrongly. You think that everybody, all dogs go to heaven, so to speak, and you know, if you just don't murder anybody, don't rob any banks, and don't, you know, treat your wife poorly or whatever, you know, you're just a kind of a moral, upstanding person, that you go to heaven. You don't. You go to heaven because you recognize not how good you are, but how bad you are, and how desperately you need Jesus. And so there are going to be multitudes of people who miss the rapture. And here's the thing, the Antichrist, who at the midpoint for sure is going to be a man inhabited by Satan himself. You know, you have the three evil forces, the Satan, the dragon, who's an anti-father. You have the Antichrist, who's a man inhabited by Satan. He's called the beast, the man of lawlessness, the man of sin. And then you have the false prophet, who's the anti-Holy Spirit. So the dragon, anti-father, the beast, anti-Christ, the false prophet, anti-Holy Spirit. The devil is a copycat. And the Antichrist, this is surprising too, in Revelation chapter 13, he has a fatal wound that was healed. He has a resurrection, some kind of, I think it's a false resurrection, although Jeff Kinley, who has written extensively on the revelation of Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 and 25 and other books about the second coming, he thinks it could be a real resurrection. And anyway, that's going to cause people to say, well, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him, and people will worship him. Listen, if you miss the rapture, it's going to be awful for you. Most of the tribulation saints are going to be persecuted, beheaded, killed in some way. And so we have a lot of people that think, well, I'm okay because, you know, I go to church and I check the boxes in my mind, believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe he died. I believe he rose again. I believed all that before I was a Christian. I didn't doubt God's reality. I didn't doubt Jesus being a real person. I didn't doubt that he died on the cross. I didn't doubt that he rose again from the dead. I didn't doubt the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know him. I believed in Jesus like I believed in George Washington. He's just some guy from history. He didn't change my life. That's the way a lot of people are. That's the way my friend Randy was until he opened up his heart and received Christ. And all of a sudden, the light comes on and the Lord comes in and the life comes in. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When you receive the Lord, you receive the life and you receive the light. And all of a sudden now everything has changed because you've been born again. What do you do if you miss the rapture? Well, it'd be terrible. It'd be horrible. But listen, it's not over. If you miss the rapture, number one, you immediately need to repent and believe on Jesus. Now, the Antichrist will be telling you, hey, the rapture, that was God removing these fundamentalist nut jobs that were telling you Jesus is the only way to heaven. God was judging them, and he was removing them from the earth. And that is going to be the lie that's purported, and people are going to believe it. Because the Antichrist, the devil in the flesh, he's not just a good liar. He's the master liar. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he can tell you things that he make you think up is down, white is black, left is right. I mean, he is skilled at doing that. So immediately, if you miss the rapture, don't believe the lie that's going to be coming from the Antichrist. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Repent, turn from sin, ask God to forgive you, and receive Christ. Study and cling to the scripture, because you're going to need the word of God. Get a copy of the Bible and start studying, especially Matthew 24 and 25, because Jesus is telling you this is what's going to come next. And then Revelation, start studying that book because it'll tell you what's coming next. Connect with other Christians. You're going to need the fellowship of other believers because you're going to be living like a hunted dog in that day. It's going to be hard. Share your faith, evangelize the lost, tell other people about Jesus who is mighty to save, because the end is coming soon. Prepare for persecution and probable martyrdom, because that's going to be coming to your door. And whatever you do, don't take the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, you are giving your allegiance to the Antichrist. And that's not a minor thing. That's a major thing. You're basically receiving him as your Savior. And the Bible says if you do that, you're doomed. It says, then another angel, a third one, following them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Whatever you do, don't take the mark of the beast if you miss the rapture. Trust the sovereignty of God. God is still in control, even though it looks like everything is falling out of control. And then await for Christ's promised return to the earth. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about what to do if you miss the rapture. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you, so give me a call and let's talk.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the rapture. What do you do if you miss the rapture? Horrors. It would be terrible to miss the rapture of the church. You know, I have had the experience of missing a plane. Many have. You know, you get delayed on a connecting flight, and you miss your flight, and there's not another flight, and you have to wait. And typically, if it's the airline's fault, they'll put you up in some hotel, and then you go out the next day. You can't get your bag if you don't, you know, if you checked a bag, you're not getting that, because that typically goes on to the plane. They, you know, they're just not able to get that. But you can always catch another plane either the next day or, horrors, the next couple of days. But if you miss the rapture, you're not, there's not another rapture coming. There's just the second coming 7 years later, and it would be awful. But here's the thing. It's not over for you if you miss the rapture, because the Lord is still saving. And there are many, many, many people who will get saved during the tribulation period. A ton of Jewish believers in the tribulation period. We read about that in Revelation chapter 7, the 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes who will be given the seal of God on their forehead, and they'll be protected by the Lord during the tribulation period, and they'll be evangelizing, and there'll be two witnesses, as we read about in Revelation chapter 11, the two witnesses that will be evangelizing. And there's going to be much said about Jesus, and many who will be preaching Jesus during the tribulation period at a great cost, because the Antichrist is going to try and kill all those who won't bow down to him and won't take his mark. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. Many people have questions about the end times and how all this you know, is going to matriculate, and how it's going to work and how it's going to flow and what happens with this and what happens with that. You know, God didn't make it extremely easy for us to understand the end times. He tells us about the end times, but he speaks in a apocalyptic language, which means in Revelation. People have trouble with Revelation because there's a lot of symbolism in Revelation, and you got to figure out what the symbols mean. The Lord could have just said, hey, you know, on such and such a date, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. But he didn't do that. It's just, you know, you ask yourself the question, why? Well, it's the same reason that he spoke in parables. It's so seeing you don't see and hearing you don't hear. You know, he doesn't want to make it just easy and plain for everybody, because he wants to weed out those who are not really seeking him. And you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, the Bible says, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And so God is setting it up to, he's not making it hard to find him, but he wants to know who is genuine and who is real. And so he's not going to share his truth with those that just want to use it for personal selfish gain. And so he's going to make it to where as we seek him, then we find him. And as we surrender and ask the Lord to show us, and the Holy Spirit is our guide, we say, Holy Spirit, guide us in the truth. Then we can find the truth. And good and godly people, as you know, good and godly people will disagree on things related to eschatology. Eschatology is not one of those deal breakers. If you believe in Jesus and it's Christ alone, grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone that you're trusting in to get you to heaven, we are brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be a mid-tribulation rapturist, you may be a post-tribulation rapturist. That doesn't mean we can't have fellowship and we can't be you know, in sync with one another spiritually. It just means you believe different from the way I believe. And I believe that the rapture, based on Scripture, is coming. I believe God is going to rescue us from the wrath that is to come. I like what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, Paul wasn't in Thessalonica long. There 3 Sabbaths, probably only there a few months, and he got run out of town in a rail by, you know, a mob. But he says this when he's writing to the Thessalonians, for they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The tribulation period is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is God pouring out his wrath on the world. Make no mistake, the people understand that. Revelation chapter 6, they hide in the caves and the mountains, and they say, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They recognize that this is the wrath of God coming upon the world. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Tyrone on the line from Texas. Tyrone, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you today? I'm doing fine, thank you.
Yeah. What do you have today, Tyrone?
So my question is here, when you mentioned the fact...
Uh-oh, we're losing you. Okay.
Hello?
Well, yeah, okay.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. Are the 12 tribes specifically of Jewish descent, or has that been open to everyone? So how's the designation going to be if it's not of Jewish descent?
Yeah, it makes it pretty clear that it's 12 tribes from the Jews, and it lists the 12 tribes, Revelation chapter 7. So that would be 12, the 12 tribes of the Jews, and 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000 Jews. So if you can envision 144,000 like the Apostle Paul that are released upon the world, they can do a tremendous amount of evangelism in those 7 years. And it does indicate they have the seal of God on their forehead, so it does indicate that they're protected, definitely protected from the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. But you could infer that they're protected even from the wrath of the Antichrist who's trying to kill believers.
Okay, thank you for answering my question.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Tyrone. God bless you, brother. We have Alex on the line from Arkansas. Alex, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hello, Alex.
Oh, yeah. I'm hey there, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm making it. My question, ever since I was a kid, I can't explain it, I've had this feeling that while I believe in Christ, I've been saved, when the rapture happens, I've always read it as there are some left behind to be here during the tribulation. Me and the wife the other day were talking, and I told her, I was like, well, when the rapture happens, I'm going to miss you, because I feel in my heart of hearts that I'm going to be one of the ones left. And she just kind of looked at me and said, why? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, that I feel that I'm supposed to be here during the tribulation. I don't know why. It's the weirdest thing, but it's just like deep down, it's always how I felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the good thing is, Alex, we don't go by feelings. So we go by what does the Word say? And the Lord is going to rapture all those who belong to him. And when he comes, whenever that is, he said, we need to be ready. But just like the Thessalonians, they were waiting for the Lord to appear who would deliver them from the wrath to come. You don't want to be around during the tribulation. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I want to be here. I want to miss the rapture so I can fight the Antichrist. And I just looked at him and I said, you don't realize what you're saying. I said that fighting the Antichrist is like standing on the train tracks when the Amtrak's coming at you at 100 miles an hour. You're going to lose that battle. The Antichrist will be killing people by the millions and millions and millions. There roughly 5 to 6 billion people die during the tribulation period. It's amazing that anybody, Jesus said, unless those days had been cut short, everybody would be dead. So Alex, I would just encourage you this way. If you've given your heart and life to Jesus, you are part of the bride of Christ, and Jesus is coming to get his bride. He's going to take us to the Father's house, and no one is going to be left behind. Now, the people that get saved, the tribulation saints, we're church age saints, but when the tribulation begins after the rapture, there are going to be many who get saved, and they're called tribulation saints. They're the elect of God during the tribulation period, but they're not people that were saved and missed the rapture. They're people that were unsaved, missed the rapture, and got saved after the rapture hit.
Got it. Okay, see, I always had the feeling that there were some that were saved that were left behind intentionally.
No.
So that was me misreading.
Yeah. No, he's going to take all those that belong to him. And, the Bible talks about the fullness of the Gentiles. And so one day there's coming a person who prays to receive Christ, a Gentile who prays to receive Christ, and that will be the fullness of the Gentiles. That will come in. The church will be at that, whatever that number is. The Lord knows. I don't know. The Lord knows. But then that will be, all right, it is finished, so to speak, for the church. And the Father will send the Son to get his bride, and he'll come back in the clouds, and then boom, we're gone. And we experience the glories of heaven. We do go through the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. But that is a burning away all those things that were of self, all those works that were of self. And all that remains is that which pleases the Lord, the gold, silver, and precious stone. And then the bride has made herself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be awesome. The first part of Revelation 19 talks about that. And John, the revelator, the one who received the revelation of Jesus Christ, he was so blown away by what he saw at the marriage supper of the Lamb that he bowed down to worship the angel that showed him these things. And the angel said, don't do that. And John knew better than to do that, but he was just so overcome. And the angel said, don't do that. I'm a servant of God. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so we worship God only, and we can't wait for that day. Well, God bless you, Alex. I hope that was helpful. Well, we have Michael on the line from Texas. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. My question is Revelation 14:9-10. It says that anyone who accepts the mark of the beast, they will spend eternity in hell. So does that include anyone who has been saved?
No. If you've been saved, you would not take the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, it shows that you haven't been saved, because all those who are truly saved, they would not take the mark of the beast. It says in Matthew 24, verse 14, the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. It's because the one who endures to the end is saved. And the Lord holds those. We don't hold on to Jesus. He holds on to us. And he makes sure that his own are protected from that. And so to receive the mark of the beast is the same as saying, Satan, I worship you. And you're my king. You're my master. No Christian will do that. We can't do that. We have people today in today's world that are, forced to believe in Islam or they get their head cut off. What do those people do? Those that are pretenders, they will say, okay, I'm just trying to save my skin here. Okay, I'll do whatever you say. But the real believers will say, no, I can't do that. It's just like Fox's Book of Martyrs. You had people that were arrested for their faith. Polycarp is the famous example. And they said, all you got to do is burn a pinch of incense. We don't want to kill you. You're an old man. He said, for 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I deny Christ my king? And he was killed for his faith. You're going to have a lot of that. But no true believer during the tribulation period will take the mark of the beast, because that is saying, I worship Satan. He is my king. Well, God bless you, brother. Thanks for that question. We have time for one more. Tim in North Carolina. Tim, we have about a minute left. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. So I'll be real quick. I was always under the understanding that during the after the rapture and during the 7 year Africa, that if you had an opportunity to be a Christian while you're here on earth, that you really won't have another opportunity during those 7 years. I've listened to David Jeremiah over the years. I remember him saying something like that.
Yeah.
It's just going to be so bad that you just would not be able to withstand.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tim. I don't think a lot of the people getting saved during the tribulation period are going to be those that heard the gospel over and over and over again. Some may, but most of them won't be. There'll be people that have heard it for the first time. Well, God bless you. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Go out, shine, and share, and let God use your life as His witness.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
Hey, if you're looking for family-friendly entertainment or resources to strengthen your walk with God, there's one name you should remember: American Family Studios. We don't just want to bring you shows, movies, and specials that will entertain or build up your family. We're committed to honoring God by making them both biblically sound and of the highest quality possible. Check us out at AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. The NTA.